What's up, everybody? Welcome back to a brand new episode of Comeback Season, the podcast presented by Barstool Sports. Just me and Johnny Manziel kicking back this week, previewing the weekend's biggest game between Texas A&M and Alabama, and using this to look back at that 2012 game when A&M went into Tuscaloosa and helped win Johnny his Heisman. We also talk Josh Gordon. We talk comeback of the week. We give our picks. We throw a little bit of shade at EB as well, since he didn't get to make it this week, and then talk about the hardest thing that Johnny's having to deal with in Canada, and so much more. I want to remind everybody as well, we're dropping a new episode every single Monday night that will recap the weekend that was in college football. It'll be me, intern Jack Mack here at Barstool, and just everybody inside these walls who love college football as much as we do. So make sure to keep an eye out for that as well. But before we get to the episode tonight with Johnny, I want to talk to you guys a little bit about Daily Harvest. I'm obsessed with it right now. It's making my life so much easier because part of staying healthy is staying active. And if you don't have enough time to make good meals, you end up eating crap. Well, Daily Harvest makes this so much easier for you. They deliver perfectly portioned cups of frozen organic fruits and vegetables directly to your door. You literally just add water or milk. It makes your life so much easier. And they have protein shakes now. So get those gains, girl. Go get you some Daily Harvest. So if you want a couple of freebies, because everybody likes things that are free, go to daily-harvest.com and enter promo code comeback, and you'll get 3 free cups in your first box. You'd be losing money if you don't do this. I'm obsessed. That's promo code comeback for 3 free Daily Harvest cups at daily-harvest.com. That's daily-harvest.com. You won't regret it.
They wish and I wish and I wish and I wish and they wish and on me. Yeah.
All right, we're back here on Comeback Season. It's just me and Johnny this week kicking it. I have no idea where EB is, Johnny, but maybe he came up with a good excuse. Do you know where he is? Where in the world Eric Burkhardt is?
No idea, but we have 2 Aggies on a big Aggie week for us this week. We have Bama at Bama.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously the big storyline. We've been talking about this all over Barstool this week because nobody wants to give A&M credit. And, of course, everybody's like, oh, it's not 2012 with your boy Johnny. And I'm like, listen, this is still going to be a big game. Obviously, it's not 2012. There's not a Heisman Trophy winner on this roster yet. But I don't feel near as bad about this game as I feel like a lot of people do.
I think it's insane that, you know, we're 12-point dogs or whatever we were a couple weeks ago to Clemson, who's, you know, supposed to be the number 2 team in the country, and then we open up as 27-point dogs. I expect for us to come out and do nothing but compete as we did against Clemson. I don't see Alabama rollover like maybe many people are expecting.
I think that the whole thing with the point spread, which I'm still like new to all of this stuff. Now working at Barstool, I'm trying to become a degenerate gambler, even if I don't want to, just because just being around Big Cat and Prez and all those guys, like I'm all of a sudden a degenerate. But I don't even understand where that line would come from after the Clemson game, because that just seems like a ton of points. Now, Alabama's the best team in the country. There's no doubt about that. And I think they're even better than they've been in the past because of Tua. And you and I have talked about that. He's just an incredible playmaker as opposed to just a distributor. 20-plus points is a lot for a team that almost beat the number 2 team in the country.
I think the same thing. I think you obviously look at, you know, going on the road. You know, it's different playing in Kyle Field and then playing in Tuscaloosa. So, you know, they're going to have to stay on them early and keep it quiet. And then you hopefully, you know, make just enough plays there to you know, climb over the top and get a win similar to the game plan we went in with. You know, we got up 21-0 and you know, it's hard to maintain a lead for 4 quarters against a defense like they have it in an environment like that.
So, obviously, at that point, in 2012, I mean, A&M was brand new in the SEC and hadn't had to go into Tuscaloosa. I mean, I think, what, were you guys ranked, like, 15th that week, right? Is that?
15th.
Okay. So, there was a lot of talk about how, like, oh, could A&M possibly go into Tuscaloosa and beat them? And a lot of people didn't think so. Now that it's happened before, and A&M's 22nd now, I believe, like, what do you think that the odds really are? Like, if you had to set the line on this, where would you set it at?
I would say it's probably somewhere around, you know, a 2-touchdown game. You know, realistically, I think that's the differential between the teams. You know, obviously the spread's a lot bigger, but you know, I know when we went in there, we were 17-point underdogs, and you know, never really got down in that game. So it'll be interesting to see. Like I said, I think they need to come out early and start fast and put some points on the board, because you know, drive after drive after drive against that team, they're going to get worn down. It's just the way Alabama is and has been for years.
Yeah, and well, and last year, Kellen Mond put up a good game against them because Nick Saban had that epic quote saying that the media is like rat poison after that game. And, I mean, he's had to answer all of that this week, too, because it's Nick Saban and he's a quote machine. But when you look back at 2012, and let's just go there, because, I mean, we can talk about the game this upcoming weekend afterwards, because at the end of the day, what happened in Tuscaloosa in 2012 really put A&M on the map. It put you on the map as a Heisman Trophy winner because it was just nationally everybody started paying attention. When you were going into that game, the vibe in the locker room and just kind of the way you guys saw it, did you believe you could beat Alabama before you even got to Tuscaloosa?
You know, our season throughout that year, we got better as the season went on. You know, we didn't play Alabama in the third or fourth week in the season. You know, we played them week 9 or 10, you know, down the road, which I think was extremely beneficial for us because, you know, there was even parts of the middle of that season throughout the LSU game where, you know, we struggled, you know, and we went on a little run there before, you know, after the LSU game and before the Bama game that gave us a lot of confidence that we could play with anybody. And really towards the end of the season, we felt that way 100%. If we would have had to play Bama again or whoever, we were playing really good football. So it's a little bit different early in the season. You know, you're still making out a lot of things about what your team really is. And, you know, it's two tests really early back-to-back in the season. It'll be interesting to see how they hang with it.
Whenever you guys went in
the SEC, Casey, it's the SEC. You look at their schedule. It doesn't get any easier from here on out except Arkansas.
Arkansas stinks, by the way. Like, that whole fake punt with North Texas last week was the
great.
Saddest and the funniest
as
thing I've ever seen. Like, I'm
that's the greatness of college football. It's awesome.
It's fantastic. But, Johnny, I just don't understand how the special teams did not try to tackle that guy. I mean, how in the world does everybody around be like, oh, he didn't fair catch this ball. We should probably try to stop him.
It's crazy. I couldn't believe it the first time that I saw it. You know, Chad Morris is old Texas high school football coach that has worked his way up, bounced around to be a head coach at Arkansas. I think they'll be in good hands eventually, but right now they're in a big-time rebuilding mode for sure.
Ugh, and, like, the stadium shots, there's, like, nobody in the crowd. Like, when I was at ESPN, I covered multiple games at Arkansas. Like, Brett Bielema is a crazy person, but awesome. And, like, those games used to be insane. I mean, it stinks that A&M plays them at AT&T Stadium because you don't get the, you know, home and home feel. But, like, it feels like Arkansas just, like, fell off kind of like they did back in the Petrino motorcycle days. Like, I have no idea what just happened.
We went to Arkansas my second year. I wish we would have got a chance to play in Cowboy Stadium both of those years. I had a chance once I was in the NFL to go back to those games that were in AT&T Stadium, and it's a great atmosphere for that game, especially when Arkansas is rocking.
Yeah, I mean, it's like one of those where, I mean, obviously Arkansas fans, A&M fans come out in droves, and I'm from Arlington, so I like anytime games are there. It's just like that home-and-home feeling of Kyle Field and the Razorback Stadium, but that's all beside the point. Arkansas could get kicked out of the SEC right now, and nobody would care because they're that bad, but you're right. When you look at the SEC in general, especially after LSU last week, like, that was mind-blowing. I know you picked them in our picks of the week last week, so credit to you because I think you were the only one that won a game. But the
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers. By the way, can you, like, in this office, everybody has a Coach O off to try to say and sound the way he does. Like, have you ever talked to him in person? Probably not, right? Because he didn't.
I haven't.
I feel like you need a translator when you listen to that guy.
That guy brings the energy. He's awesome. I picture him being somebody out of The Water Boy.
Oh, for sure. Exactly. He's perfect for LSU. I mean, there is no more Baton Rouge than Coach O. And I feel like now he's proving that he can actually, you know, he's a player's coach. Yeah, he can rah-rah the whole thing. But now he's actually proving that he can be a really good coach. And LSU last week shocked me because I didn't think they were going to beat Auburn. You look at the SEC West right now, obviously A&M and Alabama this weekend. But holy shit, the SEC West looks stacked across the board except for Arkansas.
It does, and in the next couple of weeks, we'll really start to see what teams like Mississippi State, you know, some A&M, you know, has obviously got two tests early and see what they can do in SEC play. But, you know, it'll start to weed some of these teams out that are, you know, look really good right now. But so far, so good for LSU.
Yeah, for sure. It'll be fun to see how that plays out. But going back to the Alabama game, when you guys were – because you went up 21-0, that's what you said, and then at halftime – like, was it just bananas in the locker room at halftime, or was it kind of like, okay, holy shit, we're still playing Alabama? You know, it didn't really get exciting until the end of the game.
No, it was past that. You know, we had a good lead going into halftime, and we wanted to come back out and build on that. And third quarter for us was probably, you know, our worst quarter of football that we played. You know, Alabama crept back into the game in the third quarter, and luckily we got two drives after, you know, a turnover in the fourth quarter to kind of seal the game. And still, up until the very end of the game, you know, it wasn't a sure deal. It was a classic for sure.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And of course, like I mentioned, that was the Heisman pose, the famous Heisman pose that you did on the Alabama defender that went everywhere, right?
That was.
Is that the number one most remembered play that you have in your whole career at A&M?
No, I think the next year, the Bama game, as crazy a game as that was at home at Kyle Field, that 95-yard touchdown to Mike Evans in the fourth quarter to get back within seven of that game with like 5 minutes left in the fourth was probably one of the highlights, even in a loss. I think Mike had 250 yards receiving that game.
It was insane.
Insane.
It was absolutely insane. So you play of all the SEC schools that you played at, because I love going to Tuscaloosa as a fan just because the people there are, I mean, they're Alabama people. You never know what you're going to see, what they're going to look like, and they love Nick Saban more than they love Jesus. But is Tuscaloosa up there with the hardest places to play, do you think?
It has to be. We didn't get a crazy experience at LSU. It was just bad weather, and there was still like some construction on the stadium, but Bama was number one in the country. It was a late season, you know, ranked road test for us. It was 3:30 game, always the best game on TV, always the best time for one. So it was as good as it gets in Tuscaloosa.
So I always ask people this that have spent time around Nick Saban. I've spent time around him as a media member, and obviously we know how he feels about the media. He can't stand any of us, which he's made very blatantly obvious over his career. But what were the conversations like with him, with you, after games? Did you guys talk for a long time? I mean, obviously he had stuff to say to you.
Just you know, your normal stuff that you would say in passing. I ran into him a couple times, you know, whether it be the Heisman ceremony or the, you know, a couple of the other award shows that I went to in college. And he has just this intimidation factor about him almost when he walks in the room. He's not a big guy, but, you know, you can just tell he's just, you know, he's Nick Saban. He walks around with that, you know, kind of cloud around him. And it's interesting to see. But, you know, I'm looking forward to this game Saturday. I think it's a great test for Kellen Mond.
Yeah, for sure. And, I mean, also, you look at Tua and the fact that right now he is the Heisman favorite. So when you look at this game, and it's early, like you mentioned, it's still September, and all these things can happen later on in November for somebody to kind of burst onto the scene. But if Alabama comes out and beats A&M like most people think they're going to, and Tua has a game, I mean, is that a lock for you for the Heisman just because of how damn good he's been?
No, it never is in week four, week five, or any point really until – later in the season. For me, at least, you know, I look at that, and Alabama still has to go and play Auburn, the team that's going to be in the mix throughout the SEC. Still have a lot of people left on that schedule that they have to play. So, you know, you anticipate him being there, being in the mix, and, you know, going unscathed through that schedule, but you never know. You know, even my year, Colin Klein was, you know, he was at the top of the Heisman charts all the way up until almost the last week of the season. Until Baylor knocked him off and gave me a chance to get in there. But that's just kind of the way I look at it. Later in the season, it always gets interesting.
And EB's not on the podcast to defend himself today, so this is one where you can kind of throw him under the bus. How about him thinking that Jalen Hurts should be the starting quarterback? I mean, let's be honest here.
Yeah. I mean, he's a football guy to an extent, I guess.
Yeah, he's going to be mad that he can't defend himself. But, I mean, like, and obviously Jalen Hurts is a good quarterback, and I almost anticipate him to get some playing time against A&M this weekend. I really think we might see a little bit of him. But, I mean, this kid, Tua, is unbelievable. And I know it's super early and crazier things have happened, but Alabama having a quarterback like him is a complete game changer from a team that's already the best team in the country.
Yeah, I think it's hard for Jalen Hurts right now, obviously, having been the guy there for 2 years and – you know, the way last season ended, going to that all off season and not get the job and sit there as a backup right now. I can't imagine how hard that is for him, but I think he's going to end up getting a chance to go somewhere else. And I'm sure he's a good enough player to have success probably anywhere, you know, he's going to go, which is probably going to be, you know, for the most part, wherever he wants. But it'll be interesting to see if Tua keeps this up through the longevity of the season, because right now he is, created that Alabama team into a completely different beast.
It's unreal to watch. So we might as well just go ahead and pick the game this weekend, because one of the picks of the week is A&M at Alabama, like we mentioned. And right now the line is at 27, I believe. So we didn't do well on our picks last week, John. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I went 0-3, you went 1-2, and EB went 0-3. So we've got to have a better week this week. So what are you going to do with A&M Alabama?
Yeah, for everybody listening as well, my lead pipe lock of the week turned out to be a lead pipe kick to the nuts with a half-point Ohio State a loser.
It kicked everybody in the nuts, by the way. Everybody. I mean, that was, like, horrible.
It's a new week. Yeah, the taking a knee at the end.
I've never been more angry at a victory formation ever. And, like, I didn't know exactly when we picked, if it was 13.5 or 12.5. Obviously, at that point, it didn't matter. But I'm just sitting there screaming at a victory formation like a crazy person, which is why it goes back to being a degenerate now that I work at Barstool. Like, who gets mad at the victory formation?
Degenerate gamblers and you.
Well, I'm morphing into one. This place does it to you.
I'm taking the Aggies. Give me the points. 27 is a lot. I feel safe with that all day, especially the way A&M played against Clemson. I don't think Jimbo's going to go into Tuscaloosa and flinch for the most part. I think it'll be probably about a 10-point Alabama lead. I think A&M will keep it respectable.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm going to take A&M in the points. I mean, Alabama's going to win this game, and I got a lot of people telling me that I'm a bad Aggie for saying that, but it's just more about being realistic. Like, Alabama's the best team in the country, and in 2012, I did not think you guys had a chance to do it. I was proven wrong, and that's the best crow to eat, is when you're proven wrong and your team wins. But this team is just so incredible. But 27 is too many points. I mean, I know what they did to Ole Miss last week, but A&M is not Ole Miss. So I'm with you on that. Should we let EB pick these games, or does he get flat 0-3 because he didn't get to pick or wasn't on the pod?
No, we'll let him pick. We'll let him pick them.
Okay, fine. You know, I mean, he's going to take Alabama, but we'll see. Do what?
I have EB's picks. Oh. He texted me his picks. EB is taking A&M as well.
Okay. All right, I thought he might take a shot at the Aggies there, to be honest with you. Okay, so the next game that we have, let's do TCU at Texas. And I know you and I also did not think that Texas had a shot against USC last week, and we were also wrong about that, so that's unfortunate. And when you were watching that game, I mean, what were your thoughts? Because I just didn't think Texas had a shot in hell, and obviously USC is just really bad at football this year.
I think, USC probably a little bit overhyped, but, you know, I think Texas did a good job of coming out and finally doing what they were supposed to do to start the season. I still like TCU in this game. I'm still going to take TCU even if they're on the road. I think they played well enough against Ohio State to bounce back and have a good week this week.
When I was watching the TCU-Ohio State game, one of the things that stood out to me, and I mean, obviously, I don't know football like you do, but was just how fast TCU was. And Ohio State has such a good defense that it's like, okay, if they can do this to one of the best defenses in the country, especially with Bosa as one of the best D linemen in the country, like, Texas defense can't hold them. I mean, there's just no way. And I know I said this last week about Texas, but I just don't feel like – I mean, TCU and Texas feel like they're on a different playing field right now.
Yeah, it's obviously coming back-to-back weeks for – you know, both these teams coming off big games the week before. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if one team starts off slow. But I agree with everything you said about seeing a lot of speed watching TCU play. And I think these big 12 games will be a little wacky. But, you know, I think TCU in the end will pull it out.
Is it fair that I don't like the Big 12 as much as I do? I know I've said this on the podcast, and I say it on the College Football Show, and everyone just rolls their eyes at me. And, I mean, you were at A&M when they were in the Big 12 the last year. You committed to them going to A&M or going to the Big 12. Like, I just can't stand the Big 12. Am I just delusional?
My second favorite conference to watch, hands down, is the Big 12.
Just because it's exciting?
Outside the SEC. Yeah, I think the air raid and most of the systems, I think Big 12 games, like I said, get crazy. Score a lot of points. I like watching Kingsbury at Tech, obviously, so I keep in touch with him outside of A&M football. So, you know, I'm still watching the Big 12 quite a bit.
I think that's my problem is, and this is not going to surprise you.
Tyler at Oklahoma.
Yes.
There's playmakers in the Big 12 for sure.
I love to hate it, if that makes sense, because I've been talking about, like, I talked to Dave earlier this week, Portnoy, about how I thought the Big 12 was the second best conference of week three, which was kind of maybe an overreaction, who knows. I love to watch Kyler Murray at OU. I love to watch air raid offenses, but I just, anytime the Big 12 starts talking shit about the SEC, it just makes me mad. So I'm a girl, I hold grudges, that's how this works. But I mean, it shouldn't surprise anybody. I think it's because A&M left the Big 12, so now I just hold a grudge about it.
And I guess you have every right to do it.
I'm a girl.
I think it's the most exciting football.
Yeah.
Some of the most exciting football.
Yeah, well, I'm going to take TCU as well. Pat, what did Eric take?
EB took TCU as well, too.
I mean, EB's just going to...
Just uneventful.
I know. That doesn't surprise me, though. Do we have his mortal Do we have his mortal lock of the week?
He didn't give a mortal lock of the week.
Okay. Well, we'll see what he has to say
Blacking.
About that. I know. So he hasn't given us a Canadian fact in a while either, by the way. Like, what's your boy doing? okay, so the last game we're going to do is Stanford at Oregon. Stanford is -2 right now, so we'll see if that line changes at all. And you were once committed to Oregon, like little known fact for people that didn't really follow your recruiting thing. So what do you think about this game?
I picked against Stanford a couple weeks ago with USC. Obviously, proved me wrong. I like Stanford's run game. Where is this game?
It's at Oregon, I believe.
And what's the line?
I think it's -2 Stanford right now, if I'm looking at it correctly. It's probably going to change before the weekend, but I think it's at Oregon, and Stanford has 2 points on them.
Good Pac-12 game. What are your thoughts, Casey? I don't know about this one.
No, I mean, so Oregon hasn't played anybody. Like, if somebody said to me, name 5 players on Oregon's roster right now, I would struggle to find those names just because it's just like I there's a lot of guys on there that are, you know, they've got a good quarterback in Justin Herbert. But outside of that, Oregon's just not all over the radar. Stanford, though, they do get Bryce Love back. And I know you and I have talked about Bryce Love before. Like, that kid is really good. He didn't play last week. And that's all I need to know is, like, he's back, and I don't think Oregon can stop him.
He is a guy that is easily going to be in the Heisman, you know, running, I think, throughout late in the season. Obviously a little banged up, didn't play last week. But he is the game changer for Stanford. And I think it comes down to how well the quarterback play is for Stanford. And I think they'll pull this game out. You know, look at Oregon. Like you said, I couldn't name, you know, and haven't seen throughout this year, Gill and star, like, players on that offense like you're accustomed to seeing in an Oregon jersey. So I haven't seen enough from Oregon yet to think that they'll knock off Stanford. But going on the road to Austin is always a tough place to play. It's an insane environment. But for the picks, I guess give me the Ducks.
All right.
The Ducks. I think everybody else is going to take Stanford, so I'll be the outlier.
Yeah, I'm going to take Stanford. I mean, like I said, Herbert, the quarterback at Oregon, like, he's apparently a big-time first-round draft pick, but he's not like the prototypical Oregon quarterback, which obviously you understand the kind of the lineage that's been there. But they haven't played anybody yet, and they're ranked, you know, 20th, whatever. So I'm going to take Stanford. What did EB take, Pat?
EB took Oregon.
Well, yeah. That's so Johnny's got one different run of the week, but I mean, hey, it worked out for you last week. Like, you taking LSU and not Auburn got you that one. We're just not doing very well. Any of us are. Like, this is not pretty picking against the spread.
Yeah, somebody needs a big week. Maybe we need to add a couple more games so we have a chance of maybe somebody not picking the exact same picks, because EB's pissing me off.
Yeah, we should. Maybe we can next week. We should expand it to like 5 or 6, because I know, like, on the college football show, we do 5 with the social media game. Now, it's not going to surprise you that Dave says one thing and then sometimes wants to take another. But we should start doing that on here. Like, everybody should come up with a game they want to pick. Maybe that'll help, because then we just won't know what the line is.
I'm definitely cool with that.
Okay, cool. So basically,
leave it up to EB to come up with something crazy that doesn't make sense to either of us.
Before we talk about anything else, I'm going to talk about Movement, because I love Movement watches. Because I go to the department store, they're $400, they're $500. It's absolutely ridiculous. And Movement watches start at just $95. I recently bought one for my man, and he loves it. They are awesome watches, classic design, quality construction, style, minimalism, and they've also got sunglasses. Ladies, go online. It's the best gift you're going to be able to give, because they are looking good and keeping it simple. So let me help you out. Men, women, you need a gift to give your significant other, or give it to yourself. You get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to MVMT.com/comeback. And you should see why these Movement watches are everywhere right now, because they're absolutely awesome. They're for a lower price, and they're expanding their collection every single day. So go to MVMT.com/comeback. Join the movement. Join comeback season. I promise, it's the best gift you're going to give for yourself or for your lady. Okay, so moving on.
Casey, what was your comeback of the week?
My comeback of the week was Jimbo Fisher, because I think he's going to become a vegan. Did you see all that stuff? Did you see how she says he's...
I did.
Okay, so...
go vegan for a year to beat Alabama.
Yeah, so I, like, obviously Jimbo Fisher isn't down right now, but the comeback of the week is going to be a new thing. I think Jimbo Fisher is going to go vegan because between now and 2019 when they play Alabama, he is going to sacrifice his love of steak and love of brisket and whatever else people love to eat down there. You know he's living in Texas eating the good life right now. He's going vegan, and that's my comeback, is because he's going to be busting onto the scene as a vegan now. It makes really no sense, but that's what I'm excited about.
Good.
What's yours?
I am my comeback of the week is Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Oh.
Back-to-back weeks, throwing for over 400 yards, busting out one of the swaggiest press conferences of all time.
I mean.
I'm all for it.
Sitting up there looking like a damn snack, too. Like, at men, women, everybody.
That is for the QB brand right there.
That it was so good. Like, people were comparing it to Conor McGregor, which now, I mean, you look at it, it's kind of true. Like, the swagger that guy, and he went to Harvard. Like, nobody from Harvard should look like that. That's just insane.
And look what he's doing on the field. He's to a point right now where Jameis Winston's coming back from, you know, a three-game suspension, and you look at what's going on, you have to start Ryan Fitzpatrick with the way he's playing right now.
Yeah, there's
playing as good as anybody in the league.
I know. And it's like, what do you do in a situation like that where you know what you have, you know, in Jameis Winston, and then you have somebody like him? It's like, I would never want to have to make those decisions. You've been a part of quarterback controversies throughout your career multiple times. Like, how does that decision come to fruition?
You know, obviously, you look at it with a head coach and GM perspective. You know, I don't with the numbers that he's putting up and the way they've been going into the stretch of games they've had. You know, they play New Orleans on the road the first week, then they play defending Super Bowl champs, and now they play, you know, Pittsburgh in a three-week span that they're, you know, people preseason are saying they're going to probably end up being 0-3. You know, they're winning games that they're going into probably as underdogs and winning in a, you know, dominant fashion. So, you know, It's been cool to see, especially, you know, a level like that for a guy to go back to that week, throwing for 400 yards. It's crazy. I think it makes that decision pretty easy with the way he's playing right now.
And doing it all looking fantastic. I mean, that's like doing it with the swag too as well. And actually, I'm going
to
change mine because
–
oh, yeah. I mean, he – like I said – like my mom texts me about it. My mom doesn't care at all about sports whatsoever. She doesn't know anything, doesn't care to know anything. And she texts me and asks me who he was because she saw him on TV and thought he was so hot. My mom's in her 60s. Like, he's got it all over the place. But I'm going to change mine. I'm going to do – and this is, like, also calculated because I know you're going to have things to say about this. Like, my comeback, my real comeback of the week is your boy, Josh Gordon, who is now – going to be in New England with the Patriots, and like he's had the time, you know, he has in Cleveland, and he's gone up and down at the suspensions and all of that, and then to land on a Super Bowl favorite after all the shit talking that Cleveland was doing about maybe just releasing him, that is the comeback of the week. That's one of the best ones in all of sports right now.
Yeah, I was super excited to see it. I think Josh has worked as hard as you possibly can to get back to this point that he's at, and for them to come out this week and say they were going to cut him and then end up trading him and he ends up going to New England is as good as it gets. You put him with a quarterback that can obviously use him. They haven't had a receiver like that in New England for, you know, it's been a couple of years. So as excited as you could possibly be for JG, he's going to be a beast as he has been, you know, when he's played. So I think he's got things figured out, you know, in his personal life. So it's going to be fun to see him be on a contender balling.
Do you think the Randy Moss comparisons are fair?
I mean, I don't know if you look at JG right now and say that he's Randy Moss. Randy Moss is as good as it gets.
It's people in New England right now are excited about that. They're like, oh, this could be the next Randy Moss.
They haven't had a guy of that physical stature that looks like JG, that has the deep threat, that can get a jump ball like that, you know, since Randy Moss probably. So, you know, I can easily see the comparisons. And, you know, I think it's going to take him a while to learn everything that goes on in that offense. You know, Andrew Hawkins and guys that have gone there and played receiver in New England that have, like Eric said a couple weeks ago, you know, it's hard to really pick up that New England offense and get it down to where you really know it and can play fast. But I think it's going to take him a couple weeks. But when Josh gets it figured out, he's going to be a force.
Well, and by the time he gets it figured out, Julian Edelman's going to be back because he's got, what, two more games of his suspension, and then you've got one of the best tight ends of all time in Gronk. You've got Chris Hogan, and the Patriots didn't play well last week. There's no doubt about that. I mean, they just did their normal September slump right now, then it's not going to matter. People are going to freak out about it. It's not going
to
matter.
It doesn't matter at all. I was just about to say the exact same thing. For all the people that are, you know, hyping this loss up and win up for the Jags, I think this is just another game. They just go on to the next week and play again, and it doesn't matter until you get late in the season and they need it, and they'll get to where they need to be. It's textbook for them. But, you know, obviously they didn't play the way they wanted to, but I don't think it's going to matter in the long run.
No, and my time in Boston, and I tweeted about this because it's so true, like when they lose in September, and they did last year against the Chiefs, like the sky is falling. You've got Max Kellerman on TV saying, oh, Tom Brady's fallen off the cliff, it's finally here. And in reality, that's just not true. As long as Tom Brady is there, they're going to be fine. But now you add Josh Gordon to that mix. I mean, this offense has to be one of the best offenses in the country because they've got the backs, they've got the guys that fit into the system, and now you're adding that deep threat like you mentioned. Like the Patriots, it took all of 2 days for them to figure out their problems on offense.
It's like that Cleveland Browns giving away a huge piece like that to a Super Bowl team. Crazy.
For a fifth-round pick? I mean, that's crazy. How does that even happen?
That's an EB question for sure.
I mean, it's an EB question, and it's just a Cleveland thing, right? Like, that's just – it's just textbook, right?
I mean, I think you look at their situation, they were just tired of every little single thing, and I'm sure Josh was as well on his end. You know, he's been there for 6 years. He's gone through a lot in the time that he's been there. I'm sure it was just kind of mutually good once it was announced for them to part ways. I'm sure, you know, Josh is happy in his new role, and he's got to be happy with the position that he's in.
Yeah, probably going to be in contention for that ring. So the other comeback of the week, I wanted your opinion on this because I know you're a big Barstool person, you're a big Stoolie, you read everything. Have you been following the whole KFC drama that's happened over the last couple of days?
I haven't.
Oh, my God. Okay, so I know you have a million other things to do right now because you're starting this week and you've got a lot of football, and we're going to talk about that too, but Kevin Clancy and Nate are in a current rap battle. Like, they're diss tracks, everything. Like, you go watch the rundown from yesterday. Dave lost his mind. He said it's the most contentious he's ever seen. It's the most shocked he's ever been. There's so much drama in here. You're going to love it because it's old school Barstool and people fucking hate each other inside these walls right now.
I'm on it.
It's a soap opera. It is a soap opera unfolding right in front of us. So definitely catch up on that. That's my honorable mention comeback of the week, Kevin Clancy, because he's just bodying everybody inside this office right now. But you are starting this week, so I know it's been frustrating, and you talked to the media about it last week, just kind of the whole progression. How has this week been as you guys prepare for the weekend?
Yeah, this week has been good. We obviously have a road trip, but you know, I felt like we had a good week of practice. You know, we got 6 games left, so we have 6 games for the rest of the season to make a little bit of a push, and you know, our backs are up against the wall a little bit, but you know, I think we had a good week of practice. We'll be ready to play this weekend.
All that frustration, do you feel like that makes your competitive fire even more? I mean, you're one of the biggest competitors I've ever seen play, obviously covering you at A&M, but just kind of the media circulation around you right now, does that make you just want to go out even more so and just beat everybody's asses?
Yeah, I mean, I just want a chance to get a chance to go out and play. You know, that's the biggest thing. You know, I felt like I was improving in the weeks that I was playing, and I want to build off that. So, you know, this is a good 6-game stretch to hopefully get in here and play some games and get some wins. You know, I want this playing time. I've been looking forward to this and, you know, to make the most of it for sure.
All right. Well, we'll definitely be watching that. Is there anything that you want to say behind EB's back on the podcast right now since he's not on to defend himself? We love EB, but
– EB, you have a job. Like, do your job. Show up to the podcast. Come on now.
And come with the and you never did tell me the story about driving in Canada, by the way. Has that gotten any better? That's the Canadian fact. I've been just like, driving in Canada sounds awful, and that's what I've really been holding on to.
Well, I'm still in the Uber gang for a couple more weeks. So once I get a Venn diagram or something, I'll have to like fax it over to you or whatever we do here in Canada.
So are you Ubering because you don't know the driving rules in Canada?
I don't have a car up here.
Okay.
You know, it took me. I went to Hamilton, was like renting a car there for a while, and now I've just been. I pretty much have been here for, you know, almost 6 weeks, and I go nowhere but from the facility back home and to the facility and back home every single day. So it's pretty much the same route, just 2 Ubers home and back. And sometimes I got used to the metro here a little bit. I'm living this big city life.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm taking the subway in New York every day, and it's crazy because I never thought I would. I mean, growing up in Texas, you just don't have that. But I was really hoping that you were having to take Ubers because you didn't understand the driving laws. Because from what I understand, like, EB said that you've, like, had, like, just no idea how to drive in Canada. And I didn't know if he was actually basing that off of real facts or if he was just telling
me
that.
Only in this province is it, like, a different, like, light system pretty much. Like, there's solid green, like, circle lights that like they flash and you can't turn right on red. It's madness. I don't even bother with it.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. Well, how's your French? You learning
French
any?
So awful.
I mean, I don't blame you. I wouldn't be learning.
That's an off-season. That's an off-season activity for me.
French for dummies, right? You're gonna get a book and listen to tapes.
And then come back next year and just be ready to kill all my interviews in French.
Well, that'll be the comeback next year. Johnny learns French. I'm sure your wife would love that, too, because French is a very sexy language.
That's what they say, but it's looking like a lost cause for me so far.
All right, well, good luck this weekend. We'll have, hopefully, EB next week. He'll hopefully be doing his homework, too, and hopefully you win some picks, or all of us win some picks, because we are not doing well. We're not good against the spread so far.
I need a big week, 3-0.
3-0 in Gingham. Hopefully, we're eating crow and that A&M pulls up that upset.
Yeah, that would cover the plus 27 either way.
There you go. All right. Talk to you later, Johnny. But Pat, I've got one more thing for you.
What's that?
You want to talk about some sexual wellness?
Oh, you know I do.
Big sex guy over there?
Oh, huge sex guy.
You also have a lot of hair.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, well, you want me to help you with your hair?
I would love for you to help me with some hair.
Well, I have got something for you. You ever heard of 4-Hymns?
Yeah.
Okay, well, 66% of men lose their hair by age 35. I know you're under the age of 35, but you've already started to notice that hair loss, right?
I haven't, but if you're pointing it out, Casey, I need a product that that can help me with it.
It's too late, Pat. It is too late. So what you need to do is you need to work with real doctors and medical grade solutions to treat that hair loss. And you don't have to take a bunch of snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. No prescriptions. You don't have to sit in a waiting room or awkward person doctor visits. You can literally save hours by going to 4hymns.com. It is so easy. You'll answer a few questions. The doctors will review and can prescribe you right there. So you want better hair, Pat? You want better sexual wellness? You just want to feel better? Go to 4hymns.com. Our listeners here on Comeback Season get a trial month of 4hymns for just $5 right now while supplies last. So go to the website. You'll see all the full details. This would literally cost you hundreds of dollars if you went to the doctor or a pharmacy. Go to 4hymns.com/comeback. That's FORHIMS.com/comeback. 4hymns.com/comeback. Get that hair game on par with that sex game, Pat. You won't regret it.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
I've been moving calm. Don't start no trouble with me. Trying to keep it peaceful is a struggle for me. Don't pull up at 6 a.m. to cuddle with me. You know how I like it when you loving on me. I don't want to die for them to miss me. Yes, I see the things that they wishing on me. Hope I got some brothers that outlive me. Don't tell the story, was different with me. God's plan, God's plan. I hold back sometimes, I won't.